Good morning, everyone. This morning I want us to look at the theme of how the Bible impacts and changes our lives. I'd invite you to take a pen to hand and make some notes in the worship folder that you received on the way into the auditorium. And as you're getting that together and getting that organized, let me share a great story with you about the power of God's Spirit working through His Word to change the lives of people. James Calvert was a Methodist missionary who worked among the cannibals living on the Fijian Islands in the mid-1800s. His faithful work of 18 years bore incredible fruit in the lives of those accustomed to taking the lives of others. By virtue of Calvert's ministry and his sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ and teaching God's word to the Fijian people, the Fijian king, Seru Epeniza Kakabau, came to faith in Christ along with many of his people. Years after Calvert returned to England to superintend the printing of the entire Bible in the Fijian language, an English earl visited the Fiji Islands and was critical of the king's conversion to Christianity. The earl said to the king, "You're a great leader, but it's a pity you've been taken in by those missionaries. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. They know better now. I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept their story." The old chief was quiet, and then he responded with a gleam in his eyes and said, "See that great rock over there? On it we used to smash the heads of our victims. Notice the furnace next to it? In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it hadn't been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us from cannibals into Christians, dear Earl, you'd now be our supper." There are a lot of good books in the world. Some are very educational. Some are very helpful in equipping us with certain skills. Others yet are wonderfully entertaining. But this book is unlike any other book. It has a power that no other book has to change lives. The reason it has the power to change lives is because it is God's word to us. It is His breathed, God-breathed word to us. This is not a compilation of random thoughts. These are not just human ideas. This is not a collection of myths. This is not pop psychology. It is the word of God. It is theopneustos, God's breathed word to us, as we looked at last week. And the word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. In fact, the Bible says that the entire universe was created by the Word of God. God spoke it into existence. Time and again, we see God speak and things happen. Psalm 33 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth." By the breath of His mouth, God creates. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be this," and this there was. God breathed life into people. When Jesus was walking this earth 2,000 years ago, He brought people back to life simply by the words that He spoke. These were widely witnessed miracles. This is the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word can create things. He can speak things into existence. He can bring life where there is none. That's enormous power. Jesus said that His words were more than just words. Take a look at John 6. He says, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." In other words, Jesus says, when I talk, it's not just words. We're talking about spiritual power, life-changing power. Hebrews 4:12 says it like this: "The word of God is living and active." All right, the Word of God is actually alive. It has the power to change things. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word of God has the ability to cut right to the heart of an issue. It can pinpoint what's wrong in my life, what needs to be corrected in my journey, and it can bring about the change that I desperately desire. So when we open the Bible, when we read it, when we study it, when we camp out on it, we're not doing that to simply increase our knowledge. We're doing it so that it brings change into our lives. So consider with me the ways God's Word can impact and change your life and mine. Make a note of this. God's Word changes me by giving me, first of all, a spiritual birth. It means when my life feels like it's coming unglued, it's coming apart at the seams, when I get to the end of myself and I realize that I'm spiritually bankrupt and I surrender my life to God, He gives me a fresh start. He gives me a new life. He lets me begin again. The Bible calls us being born from above, being born again, experiencing a spiritual birth. We read in James 1, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Right? Notice the spiritual birth, the salvation, comes through the word of truth. Without the word of God, we couldn't be saved. We couldn't enter into that eternal quality of life that starts now and extends into heaven. We wouldn't even know that there is a heaven if it wasn't for this book. We wouldn't know about Jesus dying on the cross. We wouldn't know how to trust Him. We wouldn't know that God has a purpose, a plan for each of our lives. We wouldn't know any of the things that we need to know in order to get to know God without His Word. God is a communicating God. He has chosen to reveal Himself because He wants to be known. God knows everything about us, but He wants us to know Him. The Bible is often compared to a seed. Once it takes root in your heart, it begins to sprout, it begins to grow, and then it begins to bear fruit in your life. And then you see all these changes for good in your journey. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable," in other words, eternal, "through the living and enduring word of God." Let me say it again, the word of God is not just words, it's alive. It's the living, enduring word of God. And so we, as James says, humbly accept the word that's planted in us, which is there to save us. So it starts off by giving me a spiritual birth. But it also cleanses me of my guilt. I don't have to walk around bearing a burden of guilt anymore in my life. I don't have to journey through life with regret or with shame for what I once did. Right? Too many people are tied to memories of the past they just can't seem to work through. Either people who've hurt them and they've got this resentment and this bitterness in their life, or they've hurt others and they carry around a load of guilt and shame. God doesn't want you to go through life carrying a load of guilt. He wants you to deal with it and be free. God's word cleanses you and me of guilt because Jesus on the cross already took the punishment that we deserved. And we can take a hold of that truth by faith. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." Paul is saying that when I take the word of God and I fill my mind with it, it washes my mind. It cleanses the dirt, the shame, the sin out of my life. It's what God's word does. It's a spiritual cleansing so that my guilt is dealt with. Jesus once told his disciples in John chapter 15, "You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." There's a cleansing power in this book that when I read it, it removes the guilt in my life by teaching me the truth and guiding me to walk in the truth. So the word of God gives me a spiritual birth and then it cleanses me of my guilt. But it goes beyond that. It also inspires faith. Faith is word activated. Paul writes the Roman church and says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." If you've spent any time at all in God's word, you've likely had the experience of reading a passage of scripture that you've read before, but suddenly it opens up to you. It becomes fresh to you in a new way, and you think, I can do this. This is what God wants me to, how God wants me to live. I can actually act this. I can do this. You've just had your faith activated by the word of God. This will happen from time to time when you're in a worship service on a Sunday morning and something in a song or a prayer or in the teaching will grab a hold of you and inspire you. And you just feel faith rise within you and you have this unction to step out in faith, to respond to what you hear. And you leave thinking, I'm going to do this because I can do this. You just had your faith activated, inspired by the word of God. This, by the way, is the big difference between the Bible and self-help books. Self-help books often tell you good stuff. They just don't give you the power to do it. But God's word not only tells us what to do, by His Spirit, He gives us the power to act on what He's inviting us to step into. And it increases our faith when we do. It increases your confidence in Christ and what He's inviting you to do. Another thing that the Bible can do in our life is that it will then activate growth. That was what the video was all about. There's a great scene in Acts 20 where the Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to his fellow believers in the church in Ephesus, knowing that he will likely never see them again. And he says this, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. Right? There's that growth. The word can build us up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, who are set apart for God's purposes in this world. And we all know what an inheritance is. An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family that you belong to. Let's just say that your uncle was David Thompson of the media giant Thomson Reuters. The Thompsons are Canada's wealthiest family with an estimated net worth of about $41 billion. And let's say David passes away, and in his will he mentions you and a sum of money, but you didn't take the time or trouble to read through that part of the will that his lawyer sent you to read. You just dismissed it. That would be really unwise, because you would not be getting what was legally set aside as yours. You would not be benefiting from that which belonged to you as a nephew or niece of his, because you didn't take the time to familiarize yourself with what his wishes were. When you put your life into Christ's hands and you commit to follow him, when you trust him for your salvation, you don't just believe, you belong. You become part of God's family. And while there are family responsibilities, there are also family privileges. You, the Bible says, have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that you're going to gain from God, not just here on earth, but eternally in heaven. And by the way, God's richer than the Thompson family in every way. You're going to want to get to know what the privileges of being in the part of the family are. So what if you go through your entire life not knowing the power, the opportunities, the blessings, and the benefits that are available to you as a member of God's family? You never take the time to open God's word to get to know what the blessings and the benefits are. I mean, that would really be unwise, because God says, I want to activate your growth and give you an inheritance that you have as my child, that which rightly belongs to you. Here's a verse that we took a look at last week. I just want to take a look at it from a different angle. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. There's that word, theopneustos. And is useful for, notice these four things. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, in living in a right relationship with God and others, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is there to help each of us live the purpose of God in our life, that we will be equipped, that you will have all that you need, that you'll be prepared to live life to the full. That's what God's word is there for. And in this verse, Paul's reminding his young protege, Timothy, there's four specific things that God's word will do. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Right. Let me explain it from this point of view. Teaching is showing us the way to walk in life. It's showing us the path to walk on. Rebuking occurs when we've gotten off that path and God says, you're off the path. You need to get back on. Correcting is how he shows me to get back onto the path, the right path for my life. And training is him teaching me how to stay on that path so I don't get off track again. So God's word equips us. It helps us grow. God's word activates our growth. The fifth way he uses the Bible is to bring illumination to our minds. It's like God turning the light on in our minds. And those of you who've read the Bible, you've had moments where the light went on. You had like, well, wow, God just opened up his word to me. In Psalm 119, we read, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. Right? Spiritual insight isn't reserved for a special group of people. It's for all of us. By his Spirit, God wants to light up our minds, revealing who he is, giving us guidance with regard to what's next in our life, what our next steps are, helping us deal with life's challenges, giving us wisdom to work through relational challenges. He wants to bring light to our lives. He wants to bring direction to our journey. And how does he do that? Well, there may be times where you open up God's word and you're reading it, you're studying it, and all of a sudden it just impacts you. It just speaks to you. And in that moment, the text just comes alive. It just jumps out at you, gives you exactly what you needed to hear for that point in your journey. Sometimes it happens like that. It's in that moment, things become clear. But more often, the light dawns on you slowly, just like the sun rises in the morning. It comes slowly. And the way it does that, Psalm 119 reveals, it says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Sometimes God's Spirit turns the light on right away while we're reading the Bible, but other times the light comes on slowly as we take time to think on God's word, as we camp out on it for a while, when we turn it over in our minds, when we focus on it, when we meditate on it. When we immerse ourselves in His Word, God will turn the light on. He helps us to see things through a different lens or from a different perspective as His Spirit opens up our mind. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." He turns the light on so that we can have direction in our lives. A light, a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. At the time this was written, they didn't have flashlights. They had these little lamps that were kind of like tiny lanterns that they would carry as they walked through the night. And it would give just enough light for the next few steps. If someone was walking on a path in the evening and they wanted more light down the path, what would they have to do? They'd have to take the next step. They'd have to keep on walking. The only way to get more light is to take the next step. Now, many of you will likely have experienced this. Times you felt stumped or stuck, waiting for more light from God. And what you were hoping for was that God would simply flood the path ahead of you with light so that you could clearly see the rest of your journey, or at least a good chunk of what was ahead of you. But you inevitably heard God say, "No, I'm just going to give you enough light for your next step. You just take that step, and as you do, you'll see that the light moves down the path, and that'll give you enough light for the next step, and then the next step." And constantly He's inviting us just to take that next step, and that'll bring light for the next one. Move ahead in faith. And for those of you who have been tempted to try to just stay put, to outwait God, let me tell you from personal experience, you can't do it. He has a lot more patience and a whole lot more time than you and I do. So take that next step and watch the light go ahead of you. And this path that you take will slowly light up. So God uses the Bible to bring light to our mind and light to our path. Another way that God changes my life as His Spirit works through His Word is by encouraging my heart. And some of you, you need this encouragement right now. The last weeks or this last season has been very taxing for you. And God's Word has the encouragement that you need. Paul again writes the church in Italy and Rome, and he says, everything that was written in the past, like he's talking about the Bible, everything was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Everything in the Scriptures is for our encouragement and hope. Even the tough parts of God's Word are there to ultimately encourage you and give you hope as you walk with God. So the next time you get discouraged, look to God's Word. It has the power to lift your spirit and to encourage your heart. And that's why we tell you regularly, every day, you need to spend a little bit of time alone with God. Whether you call it having a quiet time or a daily devotional or personal inspiration time, whatever you call it, it doesn't matter. It's that time of day where you get quiet and you get alone with God and you spend some moments with Him, where you focus on Him, where you open up His Word and you allow Him to speak to you through His Word. And then you listen to what He's saying and then you speak with Him. Psalm 119, verse 14, from the Message paraphrase says this, "You're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew you." God's Word is meant to renew us, to encourage us, to give us hope. If you're discouraged right now and you feel like you've lost hope, it's telling me one thing. You're probably not having quiet times alone with God where you're allowing His Spirit to speak to you through His Word. God gives us encouragement and hope as we spend time with Him in His Word. And one more. Note this one down. God's Word changes me by helping unlock my potential. Only God knows your full potential. You don't. Your family doesn't. Your friends don't. Your boss probably doesn't. Only God knows what you're truly capable of. So you've got to spend time in God's Word to discover what that is. Too many people today live to fulfill the expectations of others, or they live for the approval of others. Others yet are boxed in by what people told them or constructs that were placed on them in the past. Maybe people told you, you can't do that, or you'll never be good at that, or don't even bother trying, or as one of my uncle's high school guidance counselors told him, you'll never amount to anything. Maybe some of you were told some or all of these things, and up until now you've believed what was said to you, and you're still replaying those words over and over again in your mind, and it's become your reality. Here's the truth. You don't know what you're capable of. Only God knows your potential and the impact that your life can make. And He alone, by the work of His Spirit through His Word, can unlock that potential. Only He can set you truly free. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will free you. It will empower you and enable you to do things you never thought you could ever possibly do. So God's Spirit works through His Word, changing us by giving us a spiritual birth, cleansing us of guilt, inspiring faith in us, activating growth, bringing light to our mind, encouraging our heart and giving us hope, and unlocking our potential. So here's a so what question. So what? How can we make this real in our life? How do I gain these benefits? I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we wrap up quickly here. First thing is, make a note of this, I've got to learn the Word of God. You've got to be in the book. You can't do something you've never learned about. God said in Mark chapter 12, or Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, your trouble is that you don't know the Scriptures. Interestingly enough, he was saying this to a group of Pharisees. These guys were the ones who were supposed to know the Scriptures. They were part of the religious establishment. He says, you guys, you know what? You're supposed to be in the book, but you're not really in the book. You don't know the Scriptures. Have you ever noticed how two people can be facing the exact same challenge but have two entirely different outcomes? Right? Two people facing the exact same problem, one overcomes and one fails. One succeeds and one doesn't. Why is that? It's all in how they respond to the challenge. The challenge is actually not the problem we're facing as much as it's knowing how to respond appropriately. When someone injures us, by the way, what is our natural reaction? We generally want to retaliate. We want to injure them because they've injured us. But what does that do? It just ratchets the whole situation up. Right? It's not my natural reaction to forgive and to let go. Yet that's the way I get set free from the past, not by escalating. When I hold a grudge, I'm not really holding a grudge. I'm being held. I'm in its grasp. I've created a prison of my own making. And I'm really only hurting myself, not anyone else. But it's natural for us to do that. We think also that the best way to be liked is to fake it and pretend we're not who we really are. We try to impress people, putting others down and lifting ourselves up, bragging, whatever it is. The truth is the exact opposite is true. When we humble ourselves and we're simply who we are and honest about our mistakes and our shortcomings, when we're authentic, people will embrace us for who we are. The Bible tells us, before honor comes humility. When we don't respond to problems correctly because we don't know how, because we're not in this book, we make the problems worse. And that's why Jesus says, you know what your problem is? You don't know the Scriptures. Because if you did, then you'd know how to respond correctly. And you wouldn't be making the problem worse. So we've got to learn from God's Word and grow in our understanding. But then I also have to accept it. I have to accept God's Word as authoritative in my life. Truth is, I might not be able to understand or like everything in God's Word, but I need to accept it as authoritative in my life. Because God is God, and I am not. Right out of the gate, I have to admit that trying to understand why God does what He does, or says what He says, or asks me to do what He invites me to do, it's not going to be a reality. I don't have the capacity to understand all those things. If I understood why God did everything He did and tells us to do everything He tells us to do, I'd be God. But I'm not, and neither are you. And it's quite arrogant for me to say, I know, God, that You've said this, but I think I know better. So to accept the Word of God means to say, God, even if I don't get it, if I don't like it, this is going to be authoritative in my life. It's going to be my guidebook in life. And even if I have difficulty understanding everything in it, even if it's hard for me to do, I'm still going to accept it because it's Your Word. So I accept the Word. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, Paul says, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You've got to believe it for God to work it in your life. So I learn it, I accept it, and the third thing is I act on it. I make it real. Jesus said in John 13, now that you know these things, You will be blessed if you read them. No. If you write them down. No. If you do them. You don't get blessed for the parts of the Bible you know, friends. You get blessed for the parts of the Bible you do. So I've got to learn it. I got to accept it. I got to live it. And when I do that, you know what happens? My life is changed. My life is transformed. I experience God at work in my life, changing me in ways I could never on my own. So let me invite you to bow your heads. Just take a moment to pray. Take a moment to talk to God. Listen to His Spirit in this moment. What has God said to you this morning? And what is it that He wants you to do? Just even ask God's Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, what have you impressed upon my heart? And I'm pretty sure you already feel it. You've already sensed it this morning. Talk to Him about that. And then say, Holy Spirit, would you assist me to make this real in my life? Show me how. The authority of my life. While I might not understand everything in it, and while it won't always make sense to me or be convenient or easy to live out, I want to respond obediently. I'm going to accept your word as authoritative even when I don't understand it. I trust that you know what you're talking about and what you're asking me to do is right and good. And God, I not only want to accept your word, I want to learn it and I want to do it. So thank you, Heavenly Father, that by your Spirit, you're working through your word to change me. And if you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your forgiver, your Savior, and the leader of your life, just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for. I'm going to invite the ushers to come.